Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to enter the fascinating world of forensic medicine with Marie Lassiter.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that's our debut bump for Marie Lassiter, who is the elected coroner of Texas County. She didn't get to hear it this morning, but she'll get to hear it next week. And we put that together. My wife put that together for us. And she's the real deal, Marie Lassiter. She single-handedly stopped sodium fluoride from being introduced to the public water supply of the county seat of Texas County, Houston, Missouri. And I say good for her. Yeah, she's the author of three books that deal with finding and using plants and herbs for health and nutrition. She's really looking into very seriously, she's a scientist, by the way, the effects of the COVID-19 clot shot on our population. So she'll be with us next Friday. Probably first hour. She has another conflict later in the morning, but we look forward to having her next Friday. Let's see. That's okay. A test run is fine. It sounded great, Mike. You're doing a great job getting these new bumps up, and we really appreciate it. Thinking about growing up in the 50s, there's a film. The title of it is Born on the 4th of July. I'll look that up real quick, and it's based on a true story. Fourth of July, and let's get this thing here. We'll pull it up here real quick. It's the first part of the film deals with a young man about my age. Tom Cruise, by the way, has the starring role lead in it. And he's acting as if he's the real guy, Ron Kovic. But it gets into some of the nuances of what young men growing up in the early to mid-1950s, how they grew up, the culture we grew up in, the things we did, and the patriotism that we had. Now, Ron Kovic was my house guest one night. I was living in St. Louis, and he was en route from somewhere out west, California, to Washington, D.C., for an event, I believe it was. And Ron Kovic was a Marine in Vietnam. He was wounded. That wound caused him to be paralyzed from about mid-chest down, which he remains paralyzed from the mid-chest down. And he became a spokesman for the Vietnam vets to expose the true nature of what was going on in Vietnam. When he was my house guest, it would have been, what year would that have been? About 73 or 74, along in there. I don't recall the specific year. Doesn't matter. He was then and still is confined to a wheelchair. His transportation was a flatbed truck. He literally rode in the back of a flatbed truck in the open 3,000 miles. I don't know what they did when it rained, but it was a open truck. And there were several Vietnam vets with him that helped him on his journey. For me, it was a very moving film, and another take on the Vietnam War, another one of my favorite films when it comes to the Vietnam War is Apocalypse Now. The director's edition, I think it is. It adds another director's cut. I think that's what they call it. I'm going to look that up real quick. Here we go. Apocalypse Now. Had a couple of huge stars in there. We'll get this pulled up here real quick. The director's cut changes the entire nature of the film. Really, it seriously does. Marlon Brando, Robert Duvall, Martin Sheen, Frederick Forrest, Albert Hall, Sam Bottoms, Larry Fishburne, Dennis Hopper. What a list of stars in there. It took a number of years to make this movie. I think most of it was made in the Philippines. The Philippines are very close to Vietnam and close in terms of climate, foliage, the street scenes and so forth. And the director's cut, which I saw a few years ago, I'm going to see when the film was originally released in 1979, only $5 million, 5 years after the war ended. The director's cut changes the entire character of the film. It really does. It really does. And if you're going to watch it, I encourage you to get the director's cut because of the details in there. I'm not going to spoil it for you. No spoiler alert here. It's certainly is what you need to do. Apocalypse Now has been referred to as one of the most important films ever made. There were times, many times in my personal experience in Vietnam, that the war appeared to be quite unusual, quite bizarre, quite frankly. I certainly experienced it. I'll give one very clear example. Christmas Eve, 1967, I was on duty. I was working. I had an overnight shift in the CQ, the Charge Quarters Office. And right about midnight, it was wintertime in Vietnam, which meant very pleasant temperatures. Overnight lows, maybe low to mid-60s, very pleasant. And I hear Bing Crosby singing White Christmas coming from the sky. And it was maybe a couple other guys working with me. We walked out to the balcony. And sure enough, Bing Crosby's White Christmas, the song, was coming out of the night sky on Christmas Eve. And we looked at each other, and we knew exactly what it was because we were in psychological warfare, and we flew these missions. But the loudspeakers on this aircraft, and I don't know if it was, we used two different airplanes, the U-10, which was the Air Force designation for a Cessna 172, a single-engine high-wing four-passenger plane, and the DC-3, which the Air Force called a C-47, a really big, the first successful commercial airliner, a really big twin-engine aircraft. Regardless, the loudspeakers were so loud, we could not hear the airplane. Since it was nighttime and they're flying with lights off, of course they flew with the lights off so they couldn't be seen to be shot at. And so we couldn't see anything in the night sky. All we could hear was Bing Crosby singing White Christmas coming out of the sky as it flew lazy circles over Can Tho, the capital of the Mekong Delta, provincial capital of the Mekong Delta. Very unusual, to say the least. And, I know more about the Vietnam War than most people. I studied, I read, everything I wrote was classified. By the second or third month I was there, I was writing the intelligence summary for the battalion, which went to our higher headquarters in Saigon, and then from there to the Pentagon. I assume those intelligence summaries are still in existence. I don't know. We interviewed Viet Cong defectors. That was our job, was to get the Viet Cong to defect and come over to the South. It was called the Chu Hoi program. Chu Hoi, two words, which in Vietnamese means open arms. We had a complete program for these youngsters. They were mostly teenagers who'd been drafted into the Viet Cong. They wanted nothing to do with the war. Viet Cong would come through their village and draft them, take them by force, conscription, into the Viet Cong forces. So if they would turn themselves in to a government outpost. We would bring them to the Chuhai Center, where they would receive medical attention. They were given clean clothes, a clean, safe place to sleep, three meals a day. They would be taught some kind of jobs, some kind of skill, such as an apprentice carpenter or automobile mechanic, something like that, so they had a way to make a living once they'd be released. We kept them there about 2 months or so to get them ready to be put back into Vietnamese society with a national ID card issued by the government with their photograph on it, with no indication they'd ever been in the Viet Cong. Quite frankly, I haven't looked into how effective the program was. Did these guys stay away from the Viet Cong, or did they go back? I really don't know what their status was. There was probably some of each. Most likely some of each. Some that stayed out of the Viet Cong and some that went back. I don't know if they were subject to the draft of the South Vietnamese Army. I simply don't know that. I know we had what we called Kit Carson Scouts, which were former Viet Cong who'd come over to our side to act as scouts on behalf of the South Vietnamese Army and the American forces. They were good guys. They helped us a lot. So Apocalypse Now, if you haven't seen it, it's one of the most important films ever made. And it was honored at the Cannes Film Festival, where it premiered unfinished. Let's see what got ahead. Nominated for 8 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Supporting Actor, and went on to win the Best Cinematography and Best Sound. So it's now considered one of the greatest films ever made. Ranked 14th and 19th in the Sight and Sound's Greatest Films poll in 2012 and 2022. In 2020, it was selected for preservation in National Film Registry by the Library of Congress as culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. How about that? Let's see. Final cut, that's what they call it. I've been calling it the director's cut. They call it final cut. They go on Wikipedia, they go through a whole details of the movie, who's in it, what their roles were in the plot and so forth. It may be helpful to read that before you watch the film. And as I sometimes say, I went to Vietnam a boy, I came home a man. My feet hit the tarmac in Vietnam. I'd been out of high school 15 months. Graduated June of 1966. Arrived in Vietnam September 1967. I was a boy, no doubt. I mean, I had the body of a man, but I was a boy in terms of my knowledge of the world, my knowledge of almost everything, quite frankly. But for me, it was a great experience. I'm glad that I did it. I didn't want to go back when it was my time to leave. I had other things on my mind rather than being back in Vietnam. And it was the first war we fought with mostly teenagers. We never did that before or since. The average age of a man in combat was 19. We've never done that before. We've never done it since. Mostly conscripts. The men who knew how to fight a war, the World War II vets, were still capable of fighting a war. They were in their mid to late 40s, the majority of them. Those are relatively young men, and they knew how to fight a war. But we left them at home, for the most part, in the National Guard and the Army Reserve, the Marine Reserve, and so forth. Air Force Reserve, the Navy Reserve. Now, why did they do that? Well, I don't know why, but I believe they didn't take them because of the politics. These World War II vets and Korean vets that knew how to fight a war, they had families, they had careers, they had professions, And they knew they were on a first name basis with U.S. senators, U.S. congressmen. Some of them had become senators. Some of them had become congressmen, like President Kennedy, for example. While the 19-year-olds, they had no political power. Some of them, like Al Gore, who happened to be the son of a U.S. senator, he was given special treatment. Al Gore was a journalist in Vietnam and well protected to make sure nothing happened to the son of a U.S. senator. And others. We weren't supposed to win the war in Vietnam. It was decade. I knew some of the truth when I was there. I didn't know all of it. I knew it wasn't right. I knew we weren't fighting to the best of our capability, but it was only decades later that I found out the truth that there was a dredge in North Vietnam, port of Haiphong, that kept that port open by dredging out the mud. There's so much mud coming through that river that within a few months, if the dredge had been shut down, blown up, sunk, that within less than a year, the port would have been unusable. The top generals all knew this, especially the Navy. All it would have taken was one bomb from one airplane to sink that dredge. It was a German dredge, by the way. And the war would have been over in a year or less. Why wasn't that done? Well, once again, for politics. The powers that be wanted that war to keep going, a war which had no basis in law anyway. It was an illegal war. Why was it illegal? Well, because the congressional mandate was based on a fantasy, something that never happened. That would be the what took place allegedly North Vietnamese gunboats attacked U.S. Navy warships in the Gulf of Tonkin, which is Vietnamese waters, North Vietnamese waters. The Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara, before he died, he wrote about it in his autobiography, finally admitting that the Gulf of Tonkin incident never happened. The Gulf of Tonkin incident was the basis for the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. We didn't declare war, that's common knowledge. President Johnson was handed the Gulf of Tonkin resolution as his green light to have American troops in combat. Before that, we didn't. We had Green Beret advisors. We supplied arms, ammunition, and trucks and radios and everything the Vietnamese needed to fight their war, while American troops were not on the ground except for Green Berets, who were all volunteers, by the way. That changed with the Gulf of Tonkin resolution in 1964. That began the buildup of the U.S. Army, U.S. Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, and all the rest of it. That was the beginning point, a fantasy, a fiction, a lie, if you will. That's what happened. Now we have a black granite wall in Washington, D.C. with 58,000 names on it. My friend Ralph, who died 2 years ago, his name should be on there. When we got back from Vietnam, he had nightmares every second or third night. The nightmare was him attempting to rescue his buddy that was shot and fell off the PBR, the River Patrol boat, the brown water Navy boat that he was on. And they had to escape because they were under heavy machine gun. Here's our break. We'll be right back.
Are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-and-lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-and-lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadrepreciousmetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Fix bayonets.
Lay me down in the cold, cold ground. Where the fall many men have.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. All of us are the sum total of our life experience. That's just the nature of human beings. Doesn't matter if you're, living in a peasant farmer in Southeast Asia, or a New York businessman, Donald J. Trump. All of us are the sum total of our life experience. You know, all of you listening are no exception. I'm no exception. That's simply who we are. If you want to get an idea of what I was doing in Vietnam, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. The most recent photograph is posted there. I'm wearing my tiger stripe uniform. I got my Thompson submachine gun, the same Thompson I carried almost on a daily basis. One of my assignments was to be a courier of classified documents and cash, as well as attending the classified briefings at the 4th Corps compound. So I'd be walking down the street by myself. My Thompson that you see in that photo would be in my right hand. My briefcase, leather briefcase, in my left with classified documents. And one day a month, enough cash to buy a brand new Jaguar sports car, full sticker price. My 1911 45 caliber pistol on my hip. And an attitude. That was what I did. That's how I stayed alive. We got a caller on hold here. We got, looks like Mark in Arizona. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, John. Thank you for what you all do there, and we listen to you every day. What I wanted to mention to you is when I grew up back in the late 40s, early 50s, I grew up in Maryland in a Jewish neighborhood. And usually about once a week they had a TV show on where they had Holocaust survivors talking about their situations in the concentration camps, the ones that survived. And most people today take that with a grain of salt, but that had more of an implementation on my mind than anything else I did when I was growing up, and it still stood with me. And then, of course, in the last 30 years, all the things that have been going on in Israel, it was really kind of a distressing moment for many people. But in the scriptures which we study, there's two interesting parts that you might want to look up later on. Is Genesis 14 is about the rescuing by Abraham of Lot, who was kidnapped. And also in, I believe it is 1 Samuel 30, verses 17 and 18, is a situation where David, after they were in battle, came back home and all their families and cattle and so forth had been taken by the enemy. And basically what happened is they went in after and rescued all their people and brought them back alive. So it's kind of an interesting point that if you study the scriptures, people are always talking about this book and that book, but the scriptures really lays it out, especially the Old Testament and the minor prophets, the major prophets. When they explain things that are happening today, they explain this thing 2,500, 3,000 years ago.
Okay, that's a great call Mark, anything else?
No, I just know a lot of people call up a lot of times, and they do a great job with their questions, and keep it up, you guys. You're doing wonderful work.
Okay, thank you, Mark. We appreciate it. The call number is 512-248-8252. Well, it's been a great week. We have a weekend ahead of us. I'll be taking care of some projects myself over the weekend. Back to, at least in my area, we're back to normal weather for this time of year. Cool days, a little bit cooler nights, typical fall days. It was only a couple of days ago we had a high of in the mid-80s. It was just like summertime. And deer season is next week. The gun deer, we have a lot of deer seasons in Missouri, but the most popular one is the gun deer season, which begins in a few days. I don't know exactly when, all next week. It's a lot of these small businesses shut down, that's just the nature of growing up and living in the Ozarks, is recognizing deer season as being as popular as it is. It's something that I know one fellow, I know he's a former coroner of Crawford County. He's taking off his vacation for deer season. He loves to hunt deer. And I appreciate that. I was in a shop yesterday, an automotive repair shop, and there was probably 8 or 10 mounted animal heads on the walls from deer and other game that the men that work there have taken over the years. I hope you have a great weekend ahead for you, that will be a fun weekend, a productive weekend, a safe weekend. Preparative day is to work on your safe haven. I hope you can do that. Whether you live at your safe haven or some distance from you, that you can work on your safe haven and make it a better place for you and the ones that you love. I've been developing my safe haven since 1999, and it's in pretty good shape. Here's our break.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Company will fix bayonets! Bayonets! Attention!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. My Veterans ACL and Energy Cleaners are in effect right now until midnight the 13th. $25 off Energy Cleaners, 25% off mattress pads. You can place your order right there at thelibertyman.com. You pay full price when you place your order. I do the refund manually. Same thing when you call my toll-free order line. My order takers don't have a clue about the sale. Just place your order. I do the sale price refund manually. My toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. We have some callers on hold. It looks like first we have JP in Chicago. Good morning, JP.
Hey, John. I just want to give you an update on my dad. He fell over last week, and he's doing much better now. He's got a cast on, and I'm going to get him a new chair this weekend because there must have been ghosts flying around because something knocked him out of his chair, and he just, could have hurt himself. But there's a guy that had three vaxes just down the, corner from him, and he broke his neck. He fell down and broke his neck. So I'm glad at least my dad survived and getting through the storm,
Right.
I wanted to also talk about the CIA. I had friends in the intelligence agency. As you know, I was a contractor, and I got to roll with some of these guys. I did learn from Major Danes, and that opened my eyes, man. When these guys they've got their fingers in everything, and just because they know about an event before it happened doesn't mean they're involved with it. But the CIA does have their fingertips, and you know, and ISIS and LCAA, they used to call them. And Mossad's heavily infiltrated Hamas. Same with the Five Eyes. And so people blame the CIA, but that's their job. You know, their job is to know everything. And they can't be blamed for that. But the caller earlier did mention at the very top, there is high rollers, and they do control things. And, you know, it was about a decade ago I found out that the president really doesn't have, you know, the highest level clearance. There actually is a deep state, and that functions around these districts of Columbia. The caller was correct about that, and not to give away too much information, but there are some elite families, and they do live in these districts. London is another one, and the Vatican, Rome. And a lot of them live in Switzerland. So if you were just to take out Switzerland, you'd pretty much end the control of the earth right now with these wefers. But you can't blame the CIA. You know, good guys like Stephen Bennu, he's a good, righteous Christian, and he's ex-CIA. He doesn't mean he's a bad guy, you know.
That's right. Okay.
But that's, I wanted to correct that. And there was infighting between the CIA and NSA. These guys do infight, and the Five Eyes, they share information, but they don't always give it up like the Mossad holds on to stuff. So there's a lot of infighting amongst them. But at the top, it's the high roller. It's the money, the banker elites. They're the ones that control everything, and they're out of Switzerland. That's the head of the snake right there.
Okay.
So, just wanted to give that information out. You have a good weekend, John.
Thank you, JP. We appreciate the call. Our next caller is Sherry in Kansas. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, John. What year did you land in Vietnam?
First week of September 1967.
Okay. I'm reading a book by Colonel Don de Grand Prix, and he was a veteran of World War II and Korea. And during the Vietnam War in the 60s, he was director of ground weapon systems at the Pentagon.
Right.
And he says that Robert Strange McNamara gave President Johnson a 22-page document, Future Actions in Vietnam, on May 19th, 1967. Essentially, the paper said that the U.S. could not win the war and they should seek at least the least unsatisfactory peace. And then I guess he ends up resigning the next year. But, you know, I bet that makes all these people that lost sons in Vietnam after that real happy. You know?
Right, right.
But, yeah. Anyway, thought I'd throw that into the discussion.
Okay, well, thank you. I'd like to read that document. What's the title of the document again?
It is Future Actions in Vietnam, and the date was, he handed it to LBJ on May 19th, 1967.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So, okay.
Okay, thank you for the call, Sherry. We appreciate it. Your call number is 512-248-8252. One of the things I learned in Vietnam was I couldn't trust the government. I couldn't trust the army. Most of you have probably heard of the Tet Offensive. Tet is S-T-E-T. That's the Chinese New Year, which is celebrated every year near the end of January. And within a few days of arriving in Vietnam, I was told by my buddies in military intelligence that the Viet Cong were going to stage a major offensive during the Chinese New Year celebration called Tet. So that was September 1967, Tet being the end of January 1968. Now, the CIA knew this was going to happen. Westmoreland intelligence staff denied it was going to happen. There was conflict between the two groups. Westmoreland ended up suing CBS over a documentary they made documenting what really happened. I don't recall what the outcome of the lawsuit was. But Westmoreland was obviously still alive at that point in time when the lawsuit was filed. I think in the early 1980s, the war had only been over a very few years. But I got to observe both firsthand, picking up documents from the CIA talking about the soon-to-come offensive and picking up documents from military intelligence saying it was no big deal. Don't worry about it. Well, we had other information that wasn't coming from the CIA from around the Mekong Delta, such as the coffin builders out in these remote towns were building stacks of coffins the Viet Cong wanted built because they wanted to go into combat knowing there was a coffin waiting for them. It gave them some peace of mind. And the young men that were defecting to us, the interviews we did with them told us that they were preparing for a major offensive also. So I took that to heart, and I was telling my buddies that I worked with that in psychological operations, these guys weren't intelligent like I was. I said, guys, they're going to hit us. They're going to hit us hard. You get that fruitcake from your parents, don't throw it away. Keep it. If you can get ammo someplace, get it. Get ready for this because it's real. It's going to happen. Some paid heed. Most did not. That's where I came face to face with the human behavior called denial. I'm sitting here looking at a photograph of myself getting ready to leave Vietnam. We got Phil and Ralph, myself and Guy, all standing there. We're all in our 20, 21, 22 years old. I had just turned 21 a few weeks before I left. And happy and healthy, apparently. So all those months I was getting ready. Most guys weren't. When the first night of the New Year celebration went quite well. About 2 o'clock in the morning is when the offensive began. I'm laying there asleep and I hear what I thought is more fireworks. It turned out not to be more fireworks. It turned out to be incoming mortar and rocket fire. And we were off to the races. First 3 days, it really wasn't clear who was going to win, quite frankly. It really wasn't. They hit us hard. They hit all the major bases in the big cities. The first morning, they managed to get inside the compound of the U.S. Embassy in Saigon. We had our radio Vietnam. We were listening to that as the fighting was going on. And we heard this report mid-morning, around 10 o'clock in the morning. And I was in the Mekong Delta, about 90 miles away from Saigon. And the only thing between me and the Viet Cong is a few sandbags and some wire to blow up the rocks before they hit our building. We're laying on the ground because it was safer there. And I'm thinking to myself, if the safest place in Vietnam has Viet Cong inside the compound, the U.S. Embassy, what chance do I have down here? It was not a very good situation. Not at all. By the fourth day, the overwhelming firepower of the U.S. Air Force, U.S. Navy, the U.S. Army artillery and tank and so forth was decimating the Viet Cong, absolutely wiping them out. The fighting up north went on quite a bit longer. We had North Vietnamese regulars there, U.S. Marines were fighting those guys. But an entire offensive itself went on for weeks, by the way. It went on for weeks. What morning was it? It was the second or third morning. My commander asked me if I would take a tour of the city and report back my observations. And I got to pick anybody I wanted. I picked one of my buddies. And we took a Jeep and we went around the city and came back and reported what we saw. The devastation, the death, the burned up buildings, the bombed out buildings and so forth. The second or third day, we evacuated one of our buildings to take refuge in another to have our forces more combined. And we were closer to the 4th Corps compound, which was still under heavy attack. I was on the roof one night when a Cobra gunship came overhead, and the their machine guns were lit up, and the shell cases were coming down on top of me, and one of them went down the back of my neck, and they were hot, but no serious injury. I saw things, I heard things that no man should ever have to see or hear. It's the reality of combat is tough. It's hard. It's as hard and as tough as any reality can be. And I won't go into details about what I saw, but it was horrible. And your attitude towards life changes. At least mine did. I don't believe you can go through an intense combat and not have your attitude towards life change. Mine did. I believe it happens for almost everybody who's normal. You learn how fragile life is. You learn how important life is, how valuable it is. For myself and my buddies, we learned that we could only count on each other. We couldn't count on the Army to provide us with ammunition, to provide us with food. That first morning, we had one C ration for every 2 minutes, or every man had to split one C ration between. That's all the food we had, as far as official U.S. Army food. I had a Foot Locker full of stuff that my parents had sent me. It wasn't very good, but you could eat it, you know. Fruitcake and cookies and whatever else that I had in there. And I shared it with the guys. It's really a wake-up call for a young soldier to find out he can't count on his Army to take care of him. It really is. But that's what I found out. Because of my efforts, we had more ammunition than we would have otherwise. Several hundred rounds more of ammunition. That helped out everybody. I shared my ammunition with the guys who... We had literally had men that didn't even have ammunition for their rifles. That's how bad it was. If you can believe that. That's the truth. You know, luckily, the heavy combat was about half a mile away from us. It didn't really get right in our face. We had rockets to deal with. We had mortars to deal with. Snipers and so forth. The guys at the airfield at Canto Airfield, U.S. Army, they got heavy mortar attacks. And we could see where they were from where we were, roof of our building. And we watched as the mortars came in when they would hit a 55-gallon drum full of fuel, it would make quite a spectacular explosion. We saw that happen a number of times. So it's an experience that when you go through it, you learn a lot about yourself, learn a lot about others. The question that every young soldier has is, what will they do when the shooting starts? Will they do the right thing, or will they collapse into the fetal position on the ground, which is, I saw that happen also. There was a Viet Cong across the street from us. My first sergeant asked me to provide him cover. I did. I went to the roof. Had my M14 covering him as he was searching for the Viet Cong. When the shooting started, the guy on my left curled up into the fetal position on the ground. He was useless. Great guy. A lot of fun. Family man. He had a wife and a kid. Young man. Well, I maintained cover for my first sergeant across the street. The guy on my right, he maintained his stance also, maintaining cover for the first sergeant. You learn a lot about yourself. You find out who you really are, what you're made of, what you're capable of doing. Young lady that lived next door, her and her mother, her father was a Vietnamese sergeant, away from home most of the time. These street thugs were stealing her lunch money when she stood for the bus to go out to the military base and do work out there. She asked me to help her, and I escorted her to the bus stop several mornings with my M14 and my pistol, and they took one look at me and left her alone forever. Her mother prepared a meal for me at the family home, which is basically a two-room structure made from banana leaves with a tin roof. It wasn't much, but that was her home. And she was very grateful that I helped protect her daughter from these street thugs stealing her lunch money. And I was grateful to be able to do that. We have a break. We'll be right back.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around, and be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
As I said to those who've joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Wrap it up with one last story, talking about personal stories. My first murder investigation was September 1973. Our client had been charged with two counts of first-degree murder, genuinely psychotic murderer. He told us that he got the pistol he used from a co-worker. So my assignment was to find and interview his co-worker, who was himself a murder suspect. And I accepted the assignment, obviously. So I had no radio, no two-way radio. Cell phones didn't exist. As luck would have it, a buddy of mine, another Vietnam vet, lived less than a mile from this guy's house. And so I stopped by his place and I said, this is what I'm going to do. If I'm not back by this time, call the sheriff's department and tell them where I am and what I'm doing. He agreed to do so. So I went there. This guy was, young man was living with his parents. He agreed to speak with me. He denied any knowledge of the pistol whatsoever, which I knew was a lie. And I left. I went to my buddy's house, let him know I'd completed the assignment. The sheriff's department got to him the next day, and they didn't bother interviewing him. They arrested him on the spot and took him to the county jail where they did a complete interview. So that was my first murderous, my first homicide investigation. I spent better part of a year conducting that investigation. Our goal was to give this young man a gold-plated defense so that no matter what happened in the future, he would never see the light of day again. He was and remains a genuinely psychotic individual who, he had three goals in life, he told me. He's 19 years old. One was to jump out of an airplane. He joined the Army. He was in the Army about 2 weeks before they figured out he was crazy. Another was to make love to a woman. He had never accomplished that goal. His third goal was to murder somebody, the only goal he did achieve. And for him, this murder was just like ordering a pizza. He had no remorse, no regret whatsoever in committing this double homicide. Young man, young woman, he didn't know them. He approached them. They were sitting in a car next to a lake at night. He got them out of the car, bound them up, and murdered them both with a gun and a knife. I've investigated a number of homicides since then, hundreds of other criminal matters and civil matters, both. It's a bit different, and for the defense investigator, it's different than the police. Typically, a police homicide investigation is over in a few days. Obviously, they can go on longer than that, but typically, they're over in a week or two at the most. For a defense investigator, it's typically a year. And if you do it right, which I did, they take over your life. Nothing else is more important than that murder investigation. And when it comes to trial, the whole world stops. Everything stops. Nothing exists except that trial. Typical murder trial for me was about 3 days. I've had trials that went on for months, but they're the exception, not the rule. And it's as intense can be, a murder trial. That's for the day. It's it for the week. Medical supplies, your energy, plenty of essential oils now while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never ever get your guns. Please have fun, safe, productive day and weekend. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri, the large, beautiful state of Missouri I live in, the even larger, beautiful state of Texas. And Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You can't! can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.